Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
New Degree Advanced, first ever 72-hour nonstop protection with motion sensor. Tested to the limit and proven.
Still feeling dry and fresh.
72-hour nonstop protection, however much you move.
I've had heartaches like this before, and disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last. This too will pass.
Can I say it again?
I've had heartaches like this before, and disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last. This too will pass.
Listen to me. I've had heartaches like this before. I've had disappointments by the score. Come on, Charlie.
I claimed the victory. Oh, I claimed it at last. Oh, you know tonight this too surely will pass.
That you're wrestling with,
it's gonna pass.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Those old bills that you can't get paid.
It's gonna pass.
It will pass. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. Yes,
it will.
Don't worry, it's gonna pass over. Trouble, heartache, burden, trial, tribulation, heartache, trouble, burden, loneliness. It's gonna pass for you and you and you and you. It's gonna pass, it's gonna pass, it's gonna pass,
will pass. If you trust God,
yeah.
If you trust God,
trust him.
If you trust God,
if you trust him,
you'll make it pass.
Yes, he will.
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 All your problems, all your worries, all your burdens, all your cares, your loneliness. In the midnight hour, God will fix it. God will fix it. God will fix it.
God will
fix it. God will fix it. Yes, sir. Somebody say, I went to the doctor and he said I got cancer. Well, cancer might be too hard for the doctor, but it's just right for God. Can I get a witness here? This too.
Somebody say, I got high blood pressure.
Well, we came to tell you tonight, I don't care what you got. High blood, low blood, no blood at all. This too.
I could get all the women in the audience to just say that one time. You be the best singers there up here, the best singers out there. All the women that sing soprano. I'm going to teach you the parts right now. Come on, soprano. This dude. Sing your part, alto.
Tell us what you call.
That sounds all right, Jeff. Y'all be quiet. One time, everybody.
Multiple time.
Now I want you to say it real soft. Yeah. Now everybody say ooh.
This too will pass. For those of you that don't know, that was the late and great Reverend James Cleveland, one of my all-time favorite James Cleveland songs. This too will pass. Hey, this is The Work Is Done. This is a product of WBNN. We're broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. And if you want to have an opportunity to be a part of this broadcast tonight, then feel free to call that tonight, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to be a part of the online, on-air conversation. And again, this is The Work Is Done with me, your host, Pastor Kev. And tonight, you know, we're going to be talking about taking the journey through the Bible. you know, and even as... just preparing for tonight, there's so much that I want to talk about, so much that I want to relay and information that I want to share, that it was kind of difficult to find a starting point. You know, we're talking about taking a journey through the Bible, because a lot of people had their own interpretation of what the Bible is, what the Bible means, what the Bible says. And, you know, you have all these different religions out here, and, you know, and I truly believe that the majority, if not all of the religions that are out and about today, have their roots in the Bible, you know. But when you look at the Bible in and of itself, now understand this, tonight, the goal for tonight for me is just to get you to have a different level of understanding that you may have already had or may have already developed. And it's all going to come from the Bible. I'm not making any of this up. If you are a studier of the word like I am, you some of these things that you probably haven't put together, you had some pieces to the puzzle that you might not have fitted together, and or they've just been missing. So we're going to fill in some things tonight. All right, so understanding the Bible, let's take this journey through the Bible. You know, the first thing you have to understand, you know, and I've said this before, I've taught you this before, three things everybody must know when reading the Bible. You have to know these three things: who is speaking, who they're speaking to, and what is the context of the conversation. You have to know that, because if you don't even have that, then you're already lost. All right? So the Bible as a whole, the question is, who is the Bible written to? If we start right there, who is the Bible written to? The short answer, it was written to God's chosen people. That's who the Bible was written for. If you read from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see that the Bible was written to his chosen people. So now the next logical question to that is, well, who is his chosen people? This is where a lot of dissension comes in, because these people think that they're chosen. These people over here think that they're chosen. Well, let's look at who the Bible says are God's chosen people. All right. And this is where I was kind of not knowing where to start this at exactly. So we'll start here. So everybody, we believe that the Bible is the word of God. It's the true written word of God. All right. So if you look at in the beginning, when God first created male and female, he created Adam and Eve. All right. He gave them dominion, told them to subdue the earth and multiply. All right. But once sin entered in, once sin nature entered into man, man became corrupt. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that it grieved God that he created man, and he was going to wipe mankind out. That's when the flood happened. But he was looking for somebody who was still willing now to acknowledge him and give him honor. And the only one he can really focus in on was Noah. All right? So now Noah, he has this conversation with Noah. He lets Noah know what he's going to do. Listen, man, mankind is just going crazy. I'm going to wipe everybody out except for you and your family. All right? Now, it could have been that once Noah, because, you know, it took Noah 100 years, well, 80 years to build the ark. It took him 80 years to build the ark. And during that time, he was telling people of God's plan, like, hey, man, it's going to be this flood. You know, he's going to wipe out the earth. But the people laughed at him. They mocked him. They didn't believe him. So fast forward, the flood now comes. The only people who are saved are Noah, his wife, his three sons, their wives. That's it. That's who saved 8 people out of the entire earth. So everyone from Adam and Eve to Noah was wiped out. So those weren't the chosen people. Everybody from Adam to Noah, they're wiped out. They're not the chosen people. So now Noah and his family, they come out of the ark. God makes a covenant with him. Says, okay, never again will I destroy the earth. And now it's up to you guys to populate the earth. So they go about populating the earth. Fast forward. This is Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, roughly. Now, if you fast forward to Genesis chapter 11, by this time, they have done what God has told them to do. They have populated the earth because, you know, remember, they're living for hundreds of years. So hundreds of years have passed, and people are being born. Everybody's speaking one language. Everybody understands one another. Everybody's is basically the same. All right? So now the Bible says, Genesis chapter 11, that the people, being one people, one language, decided that they wanted to build this tower, the Tower of Babel. And, you know, God comes down, he sees the tower, he says, look at what they prepare to do, and, you know, nothing will be, you know, they won't, nothing that they set their hearts to will fail, basically. They'll be able to accomplish all this stuff. So we need to confuse their language. This is how the languages were formed. God came down, Genesis chapter 11, changed the language of everybody, started scattering people throughout the world. All right, now, let me say this. When you read the Bible, there are basically, I'll say, like five classes of people. I'm not talking nationalities. I'm talking five classes of people. They are Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles, masters, and slaves. Those are kind of the five classes of people that the Bible is kind of centered around. Understand, like I said, I'm not talking nationalities. I'm just talking about classes of people. So, all right, so he scatters the language. Everybody scatters. But now God is still looking for somebody or looking for people who are still going to honor him as God. All right? Noah had three sons. So if we fast forward, and when people say, well, the Israelites were people of color, I give you that. I agree. The Israelites were people of color. But does that mean that all people of color are Israelites? Absolutely not. But that's where people miss it. People think that just because you're a person of color, that automatically means that you're Israelite or that you're part of the chosen people. Remember, Noah had three sons, Ham, Japheth, and Shem. All right? Those are his three sons, all people of color. Same region, all people of color. But were Ham and Japheth Israelites? No. Noah wasn't even an Israelite, if you want to know the truth, because that didn't come till later. But when you look at the bloodline, the genealogy of Jesus, the only son that is traced back to is Shem. That's the only one that is traced back to. So therefore, everybody other than Shem's bloodline is not an Israelite, even though they're people of color. All right? So, and Shem, Ham, okay, so let's look at it like this. Ham, when the Israelites who are in the bloodline of Shem, okay, I see, it's so much. All right, I'm trying to stay in some type of timeline order. After Shem, the next person that God has a conversation with and makes covenant with is Abraham. Okay, he is in the bloodline of Shem. Abraham, God makes a covenant with him. Through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. Through you. I'm making a covenant with you. All right? And I'm promising this land to you and your descendants. He's talking to Abraham, grandson of Shem. I don't know which great-great-great-grandson, but he's the grandson of Shem. All right? So he's promising him that, you know, because you're upright, you're just, you're righteous, I'm establishing this covenant with you. It goes from Abraham, of course we know, to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob. Jacob's name is then translated from Jacob to Israel. There we have the Israelites. Those are God's chosen people. So once the Israelites came out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they went to possess the land that God promised them, who were some of the people that they had to fight? The Canaanites. Well, who were they? They were the descendants of Ham, Noah's other son. Because remember, Noah cursed Ham and said that he was going to be subordinate to, he was going to have to be lower than his brothers. He cursed them. So from Ham, you had the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all of the people that Israel had to fight to possess the land, that was descendants of Ham. But if you understand where I'm going, Ham wasn't God's chosen people. Japheth and his descendants, they were not chosen people. It only was the bloodline of Shem. All right? Are you following me? So now, when you get to the fact that now Jacob has 12 sons who are now the 12 tribes of Israel. They are the chosen tribes. So from that point on, all you hear God talking about is his chosen people, these Israelites. They go out of captivity. He sends Moses to deliver them. They come out. And now everything that he is doing for his people, the laws that he gave, Ten Commandments, all the Mosaic laws, all of that was for his chosen people. And the reason why I'm saying this is because when you see churches now today and they're preaching that, you know, things that were given specifically to his chosen people, how they try to make, how religion tries to hold everybody accountable to some type of Mosaic law. And I sit back and I'm like, that was never intended for the people who weren't the chosen people. When you talk about, can women be pastors? Well, you know, what the first thing people do is they go to Timothy. Oh, because it says in Timothy that women must learn in silence. That was part of the Hebrew, the Jewish tradition. Had nothing to do with non-Jewish, had nothing to do with Gentiles. Absolutely nothing. That's biblical. But people will try to ascribe it to that because that's how they choose to rightly divide that word, which really they're wrongly dividing it. But that's how they try to interpret and keep a certain group of people down. So I say this to anybody out there who says that, well, a woman can't be a pastor, and you say you believe the Bible. Here's my question to you. Possible that God can call a woman as a pastor? Is it possible? Because, see, if you say it's not possible, then you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. So that should just shut that down right there. That should shut down that argument. If you say that it is possible because with God, all things are possible, then you can't tell me that a woman can't be a pastor. You can't say that God can't call a woman, especially in 2022. We're not even going back any further than that. We can just say right here now today, you can't tell me that God can't call a woman as a pastor if you say that with God all things are possible. Because then you're saying that's not even possible. Then God is a liar. If you're saying it's not possible, that's just one aspect. If you go and you talk, you look at people who say, well, you got to honor the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday, and you have to honor the Sabbath because he hallowed the Sabbath and made it holy. Therefore, we have to honor the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is Saturday. Well, if you want to go by that, because that was only for his chosen people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember Sabbath, and because, you know, I sanctified it, I made it holy, therefore you must honor Sabbath. That was for his chosen people. Had nothing to do with you if you're not one of the chosen people. Now, can you say that as a person of color, that you're from the bloodline of Shem? I don't know if you are or not. I don't know if I am or if I'm not. All I know is that everybody who's a person of color is not an Israelite. You're not. You might be from Ham's family. You might be a descendant of Japheth. I don't know. But either way, okay, let's get off of that. So that's where the chosen people came from. So now when you look at, let's fast forward all throughout the Old Testament, what is God saying? You know, when he's talking to the prophets, say this to my people Israel. Say this to the house of Judah. Say this to the tribe of Israel. Everything that he's dictating, everything that he's saying, every instruction that he's given, every law that he's given, every command that he's given is given to his people. All throughout the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, is all given to his chosen people. So therefore, why do we need to read the Old Testament? We need to read the Old Testament to understand the character of God, his attributes, his attitude, his character, his demeanor. We need to know that. We need to know how he cares for those that he calls his chosen people so that we now understand the relationship that we can have with him. All right? So that's why we need to read the Old Testament, not to read it to apply the things that are contained in it to our lives today because they weren't intended for us. Let's fast forward to the birth of Jesus. All right? So Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was going to come because God's people, his chosen people, were so hard-headed and stiff-necked, and they kept rebelling. They kept rebelling against him. As much as he provided for them and did for them, they just kept rebelling. They would not honor him as God. They would not honor the commandments nor the laws that he set forth for them to follow. So you get to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. God is saying, he's telling Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to give them a new covenant. Not one that, like their fathers broke, that was written on tablets. I'm going to give them a new covenant that's going to be written in their hearts. So when you read the Bible and it says, you know, God says, I am the Lord, I change if not, he's not talking about his methodology. He's talking about his character. His character absolutely will not change. Nothing that will happen will stop God from being loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God, God who gives favor, God who blesses. Nothing is going to change that. He will continue to be long-suffering. His character does not change. But his methodology will change. How he chooses to get things done, who he chooses to use, the way he chooses to use them, those things will change. So when he says, I am the Lord, I change not, no, his character will not change. He will not be sometimesy like people are. I like you today, but I might not like you tomorrow. I love you today, but I ain't going to love you tomorrow. I'll give to you now, but I ain't going to give it to you later. See, that's sometimesy, and God will never be that way. All right? But how he does things will change. So he says in Jeremiah 31:31, I'm going to give a new covenant. Jesus was the facilitator of the new covenant. All right? So now when Jesus comes on the scene, the Mosaic law is still in effect. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to break the law. He said, I've come to fulfill it. I didn't come to do away with it. I didn't come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law. So the Mosaic law was still in effect. That's why he was, when they would question him and ask him certain things, he would respond to them through the law, what the law meant. All right? And listen, I hope you guys are paying attention because some of the stuff you've probably never heard before. But if you continue to stay on this roller coaster with me, I guarantee you we're going to get to the end. But we're going to take a break. We got a track coming up by Internet GJ Hall of Fame, disc jockey, Brother O, and we'll be back when the work is done.
Christians never have to worry. For when things go wrong, maybe they can't get the lawyer on the phone. But you know what they can do? There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrous. Lay fast. Feel the need to talk to somebody and no one's around. It glows with the light of His goodness. Somebody say, well, what kind of place is it? The beauty, beautiful garden of bread. Somebody say, well, where is it? You don't have to go far. It's right there in your heart.
We're back with The Work Is Done. If you want to be a part of this conversation tonight, call in tonight, 516-453-9133, and we're going to go to the phone lines. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Pastor Perry. It's Ava Holly. How are you?
Hey, Miss Holly. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm enjoying listening to your smooth-sounding voice, your smooth-sounding music from Brother O, and just enjoying your word tonight. So just wanted to call in and support and throw myself to you and say hey.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you as well. Ava is definitely one of the premier hosts on WBNN Talk Radio. Give them let them know when your show is and what your show is about.
Sure. So it's the Casual Chat. We were just on Wednesday, so it'll be 4 weeks from this past Wednesday. I don't know the date off the top of my head. However, thank you for letting me say that. And thank you for your kind words. It's always a pleasure to call in and hear your voice, and I appreciate you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I hope that you continue to listen in. That is Ava Holly. One of the premier, like I said, one of the premier hosts here at WBNN. And tonight we are talking about, you know, this journey through the Bible. And like I said before, you know, I never want to be offensive to anybody or what people believe. But at the same time, if what you believe, what you have been believing, is not true. What you have believing is a misconception or misrepresentation, misinterpretation of Scripture, then I believe it's to your benefit to hear the truth. You know, one of the things that Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, like some people think it says. It says it shall make you free. But you have to know the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says that we have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. That means proper exegesis, proper interpretation. Because if it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. But we want to make sure that we're on the path of truth, you know. So when we left off, we were talking about how Jesus came. And if you understand it, or if you didn't know, Jesus, when he was sent by God, he wasn't sent to everyone, like a lot of people think that he was. But he says in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 15, when the woman came to him, and this woman now, let's see where she was actually from. I believe she was from Canaan, this woman. And she came to him. Let me see, because I want to make sure we're at the right spot here. It says she's a Gentile woman, and she was from Canaan. All right? And she came to him, and she was asking him to have mercy on her, because her daughter was severely demon-possessed. But he didn't answer her. And at the time, his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. Well, I'm in Matthew chapter 15, verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he came for. And he's telling her this. I didn't come here to help you. Now, he wound up helping her, but he was letting her know, I've only come for the lost sheep. I've only come for the people that my Father has chosen, and you're not one of them. Okay, some of you might be looking at that and finding that kind of hard to believe. Okay, but let's look at Matthew chapter 10, Remember when he sent his disciples out? He sent them out two by two. What were the instructions that he gave his disciples? He said, do not go to the villages of the Samaritans. Do not go to the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. So he was even telling them, don't worry about everybody else. We're not here for everybody else. We're only here for the lost sheep. The lost sheep are my Father's chosen people. See, so because of the rejection of the chosen people, because they continued to rebel, because they continued to reject, even Jesus gave the parable of, you know, the vineyard. He said, listen, I sent my people and they killed them. And then I sent some more people and they killed them. Then he said, I figure if I send my son, so, you know, they would receive my son, but yet they killed the son also. What was he talking about? He was giving the parable of how the Israelites, the chosen people, how they treated the prophets, number one. I sent the prophets, but what were they doing to the prophets that were sent to the house of Israel? They were killing them. They were killing the prophets. So when he says, I sent my son, the son was Jesus. And what happened to him? They killed him too. The chosen people did this. So when Jesus gave that parable, he was letting them know, like, listen, I'm the one who's coming to y'all. Y'all should know who I am, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees and all you teachers of the law, all you lawyers. Y'all should know that it's me that's coming, because it's been prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. All throughout the Old Testament, it's been prophesied that I'm coming. Now that I'm here, y'all don't even recognize me. So this is what happens when people go on their own understanding, go on their own interpretation of what the word says. Do you know that they even had, they even accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath? Because they had incorporated their own rules and regulations to God's Sabbath. Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. And he got up and was carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And they said, oh, it's unlawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. See, that was their rules. So when you read in the book of John and it says, oh, they were mad at him and they hated him and persecuted him all the more because not only did he break the Sabbath, but he called himself the Son of God. He didn't break the Sabbath because breaking the Sabbath would have been a sin. Again, I'm not really teaching on the Sabbath. If you want to, you can go on and look at my Facebook message for the last 2 weeks. I already taught on the Sabbath. All right. But we're just talking about these chosen people taking this journey through the Bible. So now Jesus says, okay, you guys are continuing to rebel against my Father, against me. He gave the parable of the feast. And this was the parable he said. He said he created this big feast. He invited the chosen people to come, but they came up with all these excuses. I just got married. I just bought some new animals. I got to go tend to them. I got to tend to my work. I got to do all this stuff. So they didn't come. This was the parable that he's teaching. So he tells the servant, he says, well, go out and bring in all the lame and the sick and those who, you know, leprosy and all that, bring them in. So the servant did that. He said, but yeah, there's still room. Then he says, okay, well, go to the hedges and highways and compel them. Who is he talking about? He's talking about everybody else who wasn't the chosen people. Now let's open the door for everybody else since the chosen people don't want to come. And we further understand this because now when you get into the book of Acts and he calls, you know, he meets Saul on the Damascus Road, and Saul has this transformation and goes from Saul to Paul. He tells him, he says, you know, go to this man, you know, just go sit here, and then I'll send the man Ananias to come to you, and he's going to restore your sight. And when Jesus talks to Ananias, he says, listen, go there to this house. You'll see a man named Paul. He's praying. I told him you're coming to lay your hands on him so you can receive the sight. And Ananias tells Jesus, he says, well, nah, man, listen, I heard about this dude. He going around persecuting everybody that's preaching in your name. Jesus says, no, don't worry about that, because I've called him and I'm sending him to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the rest of the sheep of Israel. That's where the door opened. So if as a believer, your goal is to get to heaven and spend eternal life, why do you jump through religious hoops? Why do you try to claim something that is not yours to claim? Because here's the thing. If you say you want to honor any part of the law, you have to honor all of it, not just a part of it. When you go through that buffet line, which is the law, you can't pick and choose which ones you want. You can't say, give me the mac and cheese, but don't give me the baked beans and hot dogs. If you go through that buffet line, you best have you a real big tray, because you got to take everything on there, because that's what the word says. He says, if you try to do one and you don't do it, you're guilty of breaking it all. So we can't pick and choose which laws you want to keep and which ones you don't. Which ones fit your lifestyle? Which ones fit how you want to conduct yourself, and which ones don't? If you want to do it, you have to do all of it. And I guarantee you, people ain't trying to do all the law. You know what part of the law is? Giving of offerings. Leviticus, if you read Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, the first five chapters have to do with offerings. And I know a lot of y'all, if y'all go to church and they pass that offering plate more than once, y'all have a fit. Better not pass that off. It's okay, you passed the offering, you know, took two offerings. That's enough. That offering plate come around the third time, some of y'all getting up and walking out of the church. But when you read in the law, he talk about five offerings: burnt offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings, grain offerings, and I forget what the fifth one is, but it's five offerings. First five chapters dealing with offerings. So don't tell me that you this kind of Israelite or you that kind of and you not following all of the laws. Because if you claiming to be any type of Israelite, you're supposed to be following the laws. Because Jesus said, I come to fulfill it. I didn't come to abolish them, so they're not abolished. But see, that's where religion comes in, because people want to pick and choose what type of person they want to be. They want to choose what they think is righteous and not what God has already dictated what righteousness is. People keep missing the mark. Got people jumping through all these religious hoops and all this stuff. If the goal is to get to eternal life with God in heaven, what are the requirements? What are the requirements for you as a person who says they're a believer, whether you're Jew or non-Jew, whether you're Jew, Greek, slave, master, what are the requirements? We're going to talk about those requirements when we get back after this track by Brother O. Stay tuned.
It's been a good day. It has been a good day. I've had some heartaches and pain, a little sunshine and rain, some ups, some downs, some smiles and some frowns. But it's been a good day. Yes, it has. Thank you, Lord. It's been a good day. I've got my help and And I know that I did time. It's been a good day, and I thank God for it. It's been a good day. I've been lied on and cheated, talked about in this field. Up and down, had some smiles, had some frowns. Oh, it's been a good day. I want to thank you for another good day. Take a little time to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. All of my help has been. I need to know that I'm in time. Leave, I take a little more time.
Welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Pastor Perry. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine, Pastor. I wanted to call in because my heart is kind of broken. I'm concerned with the youth in this nation.
Yes.
And I just watched seven young people attack an elderly person about 73 years old while he was walking down the street. And this elderly person died. And
wow.
My heart as I keep watching the violence that the youth are doing, it breaks my spirit. And I wanted to ask you to say a prayer for the youth in this nation. Because I know a scripture that says that man's heart was going to grow cold in the last days. But I also know it says if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. So we have a lot of youth that's dying, and they don't understand the respect and love that they should have. So I'm calling to you, Pastor, to please say a prayer for the youth in this nation.
Amen. Yeah, let's do that. Father, we come before your presence right now, God, just with heaviness of heart because of what we see transpiring in, you know, in our cities and our neighborhoods, especially when it comes to the young. And, you know, Father, we just lift up this entire situation to you because nothing can happen unless we pray. And we know that these kids out here who are really looking for love, but they're not getting it from the people that they're supposed to. They're getting it from each other. And this generation is just lost. They're lost. And we need you to intervene. We need you to intervene with your love, with your Holy Spirit, so that they can see that the path that they're on leads to destruction. Doesn't lead to righteousness, it leads to destruction. And not only destruction of themselves, but the people that they're hurting, other families. It's just a trickle-down effect. This person that they attacked now has lost their lives. That means that these seven are now going to be charged with murder. And it's just our young that are filling up the prisons. Father God, we need divine intervention. So we lift up our youth today. We pray that we don't want to walk around in fear. We don't want our elderly walking around in fear. We don't want people just haphazardly taking up firearms without proper training to go out here and try to defend themselves, because that could just create more recklessness. But we just need divine intervention right now. You give us the wisdom and the insight in how to reach them, how to reach the unloved, how to reach those who are lost, so that maybe a kind word, maybe some type of gesture can turn one around, and then let that be the trickle-down effect. Let the one say to the other, no, let's not go out and rob. Let's not go out and do this violence against people. Give some, well, at least one of them, the courage to stand up to his friends and be accountable. We know that it can be done, because you're able to do all things. So we thank you for your divine intervention. We thank you for your will being done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we give you all the thanks, the glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. You're welcome.
I've been so concerned, as many people around the country, and the mothers and fathers are, you know, very concerned. So I want to thank you for all you do, and I want to thank you for that prayer. Thank you so much, Pastor. You know I love you dearly.
Amen. Likewise. Likewise. Tell the people before you go the name of your show and when you're going on next.
My show is The Front Porch. I am Sister Bessie the Truther, and my show will be on the 22nd of this month.
Amen. Again, another premier host on WBNN Talk Radio. Please check out Sister Bessie the Truther. Thank you, my love, for calling in. And we know God can turn this thing around. We're going to keep this going. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Jerry Petito from New Jersey. How are you, Pastor?
Hey, Jerry, I'm great. How are you tonight?
I'm good. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
And I've asked this question to many pastors for many, many years, since I was young, actually. And no one has ever given me an answer of satisfaction for me. So I'm hoping
okay.
you could do that tonight.
All right,
talk so much about Noah and the family and, you know, the Lord, you know, destroying the earth, right? Okay.
Right.
So, God destroyed the earth. There was only one family he saved, and that was Noah's family on the ark, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Noah had three sons and a daughter?
No, he had three sons and their wives.
Three sons and their wives, but there's been so much about a daughter that he had that's not spoken about and all that. So I never really understood that. All right, so just the three sons and their wives. Okay. So this is my question to you. If there were only, there was only this one family, three sons and their wives,
mm-hmm.
and they had to now have all these children, to have children, to have children, to have children, to have children. So everyone
right.
had to have been, it was incest, but I'm not saying that in a bad way. It was incest and everyone had to be related.
Well, when you look at, yeah, in a nutshell, you can say that.
Okay.
Because you would figure that, you would figure that if the three sons and their wives were having children, and as those children grew up, at some point, you know, this cousin got with that cousin. And
right.
that cousin got with that cousin. So, yes.
It had to be. It had to be. That's
yes.
the only way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's really my question. Then that means 100% we are all related. How then did all these other countries, like, how are there blacks, how are there whites, how are there Puerto Ricans, how are there Russians, how are there Italians? I've never really been able to get an answer about that because they only had
okay.
they had three sons and three wives.
Mm-hmm. So remember, if you were listening when I was talking earlier, the best explanation for that is in Genesis chapter 11. And let me just go there quickly so I can tell you what it says. Genesis chapter 11, and they're talking about the Tower of Babel. Now it says now in Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So this is after the flood. This is while Noah and his family, they're repopulating the earth. Now remember, they lived for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Back then. All right. So now that's why you have more than just his family. So we're already talking by this time, we're probably talking a few generations have passed now. That everybody, so now
we're talking. But they still came from the same 6-8 people.
Exactly.
So how are there so many different I'm
getting ready to explain it to you.
Okay.
But we're laying the foundation for it. So it was him and his family. Now we're looking at generations after generations after generations of now these people are growing up. Now we're talking, you got fourth and fifth cousins, you know, bloodline is getting thinner and thinner, but yeah, they're all still kind of technically related, all right? So now, he says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, because the world, they're still one group of people, and they're journeying from the east, everybody. And they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. All right? So that's what they're doing. They're building this tower. But the Lord came down in verse 5 to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language. They may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. So God created all of the languages, and from there he scattered all the people. So now they weren't in just one area. Now you got people going over here. And now if you know the effects of sun and all of this stuff, this is how you start. People now go to different regions where there's not as much sun, so they're not as dark as other people are. So this is where that scattering took place. And now people go to these different regions, and now they take on different features and all of this stuff.
So, Tower of Babel. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you something because things have to make sense to me. That's just my personality. All right? So, in my mind, whenever I've read about all that and listening to what you're saying, right? So, in my mind, it's almost like it was a punishment for us to all be different.
I wouldn't say it was a punishment, because if you look at how God looked at man, and you look at Genesis chapter 6, once sin entered in, God looked at man as being evil and corrupt.
Right.
He was no longer the pure person that he had created. He was now evil and corrupt. And because of that, their thoughts and intents was always trying to do something that was against God. And if you have everybody who's now speaking one language and one speech, what he's saying is, imagine now the things that these people are going to come up with. So let's confuse them so that they can't even communicate with each other. So was it a punishment? Okay. I guess you can kind of look at it that way.
Yes, that's how I kind of look at it. Okay, last question, and you're helping me a lot, okay? So, you know I'm a Christian. I mean, that's it. You know, Jesus Christ died for my sins, for yours, right? I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible is 100% the Word of God, man inspired, you know, God inspired into man to write it. That's what I believe. Okay. So make me understand one more thing then.
Okay.
If God knows everything, because people ask me these questions when I so-called preach the Word of God, and I don't know how to answer some things the right way. I'm just going to say it. So my daughter's dad might be dying. He's going to die. And he's only 59 years old, if you could keep him in prayer. And he refuses to acknowledge God. He allowed me to pray for him, and now he told me no more prayers because he's angry. And, all right, so when people ask me questions, and this is one of them, but if God created us and God knew everything, why did he create this and allow evil?
Okay. Again, another good question. And you have to understand, when God created us, he created us with free will. He didn't create us as robots. Because if he wanted to make us worship him, then there would be no evil. There would be no bad. There would be nothing. There would just be everybody walking around like robots, praising God, praise God, praise God, praise God. But he didn't want that. He wants us to choose to love him. The only way that we can choose to love him, he has to introduce another factor, which is the evil, to see which one you will choose.
Okay, so you just made some sense to me, because I talk to people all the time about free will, and they're like, why did God allow this? Well, no, we have free will, which I would want. I don't want to not live with free will, but my choices have consequences. But you just said something that really resonated. God purposely created the evil because he wanted to see which way we would choose. In the very beginning, though, didn't he already know everything and know which way we would choose?
He knows everything. So he knows what you're going to do tomorrow, and you don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow.
Okay.
But still, I guess you still have the choice, though. And see, that's the beauty of it. I know if I'm God and I know what's going to happen. You can almost use the example of when he came in the form of the angels and talked to Abraham. And he said, should we tell Abraham what we're about to do? Because we're about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham had a conversation. Would you destroy it if there were 30 righteous people there? Well, what about 20? What about 10? See, he already knew what he was going to do. He was just having a conversation with Abraham. He was trying to get Abraham to understand, like, man, there's nobody down there that is righteous. But Lot had the opportunity to worship me, and they refused. Same thing that goes on today. Just like you said with the young man that's dying, and I pray that even if it's at his last breath, he acknowledges Jesus. That will get him into the kingdom. With his last breath, he says, Jesus, forgive me. He will go into the kingdom.
Right.
But that's the beauty of us having the choice, because that's what God gives us.
I guess I'm going to make you laugh a little bit with this. I hope you laugh. The Italian in me, right? I always think like, okay, but if God knew all this, right, then why didn't he just get rid of all the evil and just keep the good?
Well,
I get it.
But then that would go to what Sissy Bessie, when she called in tonight and asked to pray for the youth. God knows what they're going to do. He knows the evil that they're committing. He knows that.
I know.
But at the same time, you know, he can't go back on his word, because that's how faithful he is.
Right.
He can't now say, okay, I'm going to give you free will, but then I'm going to make this person not do this evil thing. Well, because then we'll say, well, if you made that person not do the evil, how come you ain't make that person not do evil? Well, then why don't you stop them from doing evil? No, I can't do that. I've given them free will. They have to make the choice.
I know. I just wish it was all good. But you did explain.
I mean, we all do.
Thank you.
Well, listen, I hope I gave you some clarity and answered your questions. But, you know, everything that we need to know is right here in the Word of God. But we just have to know how to study it so that we get the proper understanding from it.
Right. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you as well. Hey, listen, that was Jerry Petito. Quickly, before we go to the track, tell the people the name of your show and when you come on.
So it's the Jerry Petito Show, and it is July 26th, and I have a Howard Stern impersonator. But the best show I'm going to be having is 4 weeks from that in August, and Benny King's son will be my guest. That's right, guys.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, Sister Jerry. And this is The Work Is Done. We'll be back right after this.
all the good things he's given to me, I appreciate them. Oh yes, I do. Out of all the good things he's given to me, no, I can't forget them. No, 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 no.
Thank you for keeping me alive. Not my goodness, but your grace brought me,
all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the work is done. Back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, peace. My name, my travel name is Huni Barkatun. My pen and stage name is the Magic Man Haru. How you doing, man of God?
Man, I'm always good. How are you doing this evening?
Always good, just like your message. I tell you, you're one of the greatest divine blessings of our time, I would say, especially for our great company of WBNN. Loving your message so far. Definitely loving the callers. My heart actually goes out to Mother Sister Bessie, and I know.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much, because for so long, you know, it's now time for people to start realizing that we are great people. And you're right. Everybody
yes,
is definitely not of the chosen. That's very key right there, because it's right in sync. And even with me being a host of WBNN, my show is coming up, and I speak about that before I sign off, right? And this is why we have to start looking at ourselves now, okay? And the sad thing about it is you got a lot of God-fearing people. Our people, especially, are very God-fearing. Very faithful people, right? But you got a lot of people who look just like us that commit such hideous acts the way that Mother Sister Bessie. Like, I'm standing outside right now, right? I'm going to show you the difference between our generation versus the generation, not all of them, but the ones that's committing these hideous acts. My mom elevated in 2009, but man of God, I'm telling you, the undisputed bare-knuckle prize fighter, undefeated one. She could haul off and pimp slap me right now, and I'm standing outside while I'm on the phone talking to you. You understand? So it's a difference.
Absolutely.
Trust me, it's a difference. She translated years ago, but trust me. And this is a lot of the things that's missing with a lot of the children that's being procreated. And that's why it's very important to be careful who you lay down with.
Yes.
That you're going to conceive children by. And all of these children, just like right back to the scriptures, you got some of us, all of us are children of the Most High, right? But you also got some of us are children of the good angels, and you got some of us are children of the bad angels called seraphim and cherubim, right? And we are all mixed in here together. Now, just because we're looking at someone with a meat suit that looks similar to ours, don't necessarily mean that they have soul, because those of us who have soul have empathy and forgiveness. You understand?
Yes.
But someone to commit a hideous act to an elder, that can't have a person with an activated soul that's generating their body. And we have to be this detailed nowadays, because it's the same reason why, you know, sometimes the black cop will treat you worse than a white cop. Those
yes,
are
will.
Cold, hard facts. Cold, hard facts. You understand? So we have to be able to take that laser beam of decision-making and be able to have that perfect perception and be able to decide on if someone who's coming in our pathway, do they mean us good or do they mean us bad? And this is something that we have to be that detailed in this day and time. I definitely wanted to take time to put my little $9.99. Man of God, and I love your message, love you, appreciate you, and I'm going to sign off and listen to the rest of the show. Oh, hold up a minute. I'm sorry. My show is coming up July 28th, where I'll be speaking about, there's the devil for you, I'll be speaking about intergalactical involvement that's coming, a Mission Planet Earth intergalactical involvement. That'll be July 28th, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on this great WBNN radio station. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. That was Brother Huni Barkatun. Awesome man of God. And all right, so listen, we have come to the end of this broadcast. But, you know, there's so much that we need to know. There's so much that we need to learn, because that's the only way, the pathway to God and righteousness. But we have to learn. You see, here's the thing, though. You have to be willing to come out of your comfort level and expand and be willing to expand your knowledge beyond what you have already been taught. Because, see, here's the thing. You got some well-known pastors who are now coming forward saying, oh, I missed the mark. Oh, I was wrong in teaching this, and I was wrong in teaching that. And imagine how many thousands and maybe millions of people that they have already ministered to. And now they're coming back saying, oh, man, I missed the mark. Well, you know, I praise God that they're willing to be honest, but at the same time, like, man, it's incumbent upon you as a leader to make sure you know what you're talking about. They say, I would never come before God's people. I never want to come before God's people and not be sure 100% of what I'm saying. That's why everything that I tell you, I give it to you from the Bible. And I guess they were thinking they were doing that too, but that's why I said you got to rightly divide it. You got to make sure that you are speaking the truth, because as a leader, as a minister of the gospel, you are held to a higher level than anybody else. So, you know, if you have any questions about this broadcast tonight, and this is what Brother O was going to tell you, reach out. If you need to get to me, he can tell you how to get to me. If you have more questions and I'm telling you, I don't have all the answers. The Bible does. Romans 15:4. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So that's it for me tonight. I'm going to turn it over to the one and only Brother O.
Well, folks, I want to thank everybody who counted that robbery to be here tonight. And it's just such a wonderful time as this when we're able to pray like never before. It's always wonderful to pray, no matter what's going on, matter if it's good or matter if it's bad. And I always say that when you praise God, man, you're praising God for not just his excellent greatness, but, you know, also in hard times, he wants you to come to him as well. And so now, here comes my wonderful commissioner in a few minutes to come on with in Goshen time. But I just want to say something to everybody that's on this program tonight. Pastor Perry not only teached, but he also gave an outstanding review of the Bible, how to go and be able to understand it, turn the pages back to get the understanding for all of your questions. You will always get an answer. Now, our commissioner with Ngozi time.
All right. Pastor Perry, I truly enjoyed your show tonight. It was really awesome. And, wow, the way that you took the time out to explain things like to Jerry. She had a lot of questions, and you had every answer for her. And I think that's wonderful, because it's not all about preaching. It's more about teaching and making sure that people definitely understand the Word of God. So I really appreciate you tonight and how you taught tonight. And I just want to invite everybody to tune in Sunday night, the News Forum, at 9:30 p.m. right here on WBNN. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milowe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milowe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to the Reverend Kevin Perry and his invitation to discipleship.
Listen, I know we went over a lot tonight, and one of the things that I was going to talk about was the requirements to get to heaven, because that should be the goal of everybody, not religion, but how do we spend eternal life with God the Father? This is what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believes unto salvation. So if that's you tonight, because you've tried religion and you're tired, and not, believe me, I understand it. You are so, how they say, you are sick and tired of religion. So let's get away from religion. Let's work on your relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you want to try that instead of religion, then just accept him. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's just that simple. When you make that confession, the Bible says that you're saved. Not through works. It says you're saved. Now you need to increase your relationship with God. How do you do that? By studying his word, by praying, by having intimate conversations with him. Just like you would call up a friend and say, hey, I want to talk to you about this problem. And you talk, and then the friend talks back. That's the relationship God wants to have with you. Not one where you do all the dictating and just all the talking, and he never gets a chance to respond, because he has all your answers. So listen, this is Pastor Kev. The work is done. I pray that the work has been done tonight, that understanding, revelation, wisdom, knowledge has taken place. And we'll be back in 4 weeks. But until then, God bless, and I'll see you next time.